Well, we're going to have a treat this morning. We have some longtime friends of ours. We've known them for years. And they were Foursquare pastors. And then they became Episcopalian pastors who then became Anglican pastors. And their journey has brought them, they were here in this area for several years, and then they went to California. And the Lord then said, go home, young man and woman, and came back to Port Ludlow. And they're a part of our assembly with us. And we've asked Pastors Joseph and Donna to come team do a message for us this morning from the Lord. Pastors Joseph and Donna, come on up. Let's welcome them, church. We welcome you in the name of the Lord. Amen. We say, blessed are those who come in the name of the Lord.
Amen. When I first met pastors, the Pastor Kevin and Pastor Sherry, I came before him as a humble servant and told him both, we're here to help. I don't want your pulpit. I don't want your people. I don't want your church. All we want to do is help. And he has opened the door for us to be up here this morning to do exactly that. We have a message that the Lord had placed in my heart for many, many years now. And I pray that your hearts will be open to receive what he has for each one of us. But first of all, let us pray. Father God, we thank you, Lord, for the opportunities you give us. We thank you, Father God, that you open the doors and you close the doors, Father God. But Father, most of all, Lord, I stand before you as a humble servant. Humbly before you, Lord, to ask you, Lord, to guide our mouth, guide our heart, to speak only what you want us to speak, and nothing else. That through this, Lord, you will be glorified and your people will be blessed. In Christ's name, I pray these things. Amen. How many of you read the scripture for today? How many of you can recite it? Nobody? The last reading for this month is Luke 9. And it says, anyway, the whole premise of that, Peter, when Peter was asked by Christ, who do you say I am? And how did Peter respond? The Son of the Living God. And that's my whole, our whole premise today for this message. And I'll allow my wife and partner for 47 years to go first. Isn't that right, gentlemen?
Absolutely. Okay. The thought that came to mind as we were preparing and reciting back and forth, how many of you, when you were growing up, had parents, grandparents telling you stories? Okay. Now, were you in a comfortable, cozy place, ready to hear that wonderful story from your grandparent or your parent? I want you to put your minds in that area because we're here to tell a story. And so cozy up, get comfortable, and hold that thought.
In the same realm, as Donna said,
we never consider ourselves preachers, but we have considered ourselves storytellers. I love to tell the story from scriptures, but most of all, we'd love to tell the story about Christ in our life. And this is the essence of this.
The sad part, our world is full of fear and uncertainty.
Didn't we do that today in the some of the words?
But in the midst of all the uncertainty, we do not have to be uncertain or full of fear. Whether our own spiritual house stands or falls, our certainty is determined by how we answer that one important question. Jesus asking you and me, who do you say that I am? So, who do people say that I am? They have always been many opinions about who Jesus was, even today in our gospel message. For today, Jesus asked his disciples who people thought that he was. Some thought that he was John the Baptist, resurrected from the dead in the Old Testament scriptures taught, and the people believed in the resurrection. Others believed he was Elijah. Some believed he was Jeremiah, or that Jesus was just another prophet or a political leader. Oh, dear. That would free them from Roman tyranny. Obviously, they respected Jesus and gave him a lot of distinction as a man. But they did not see him as the man of God. And what do people say now? Even today, there are many opinions about Jesus. Don't we hear them all? Some people say that he is a great teacher. Some even say that if people do what Jesus said and live the way he lived, our world would be a better place. Some people see Jesus as a spiritual man, one of many in history. They compare Jesus to Buddha, Confucius, the Dalai Lama, and all these leaders say some led to heaven in one way or another. Some people believe that Jesus merely showed us the way to heaven. As he said, go right or go left. Well, if you go left, you know where you're going. But at the end, it was still up to us to get there on our own. To some, Jesus was just a great man who had an influence on the world. Oh, wait a minute. Celebrate Jesus. There it is. That's a perfect cartoon. It says, who do people say I am? Some say John the Baptist. Others say Elijah. Oh, and man, I love this one. The magic eight ball says yes to are you the Messiah? The magic eight ball is good enough for me. Adam, we need to talk. Now that's Adam and Eve. So, what about us? Are we about as many churches with many different opinions about who Jesus was and is today? And what we as Christians should do or not do? There are liturgical and non-liturgical churches. There are churches that stress the sacraments and those that do not. Some take the Bible literally and some take it hardly at all. So what is the heart of the Jesus question? Who do you say that I am? We must know and understand that the answer to this question is not the core, is the core of the Christian faith. What other people believe is not important. It is what you and I believe is. Right. Amen. So what is the right answer? The Apostle Peter clearly stated the right answer. You are Christ, the Son of the living God. Can we answer the same way? Amen. Amen. He steps out beyond the beliefs of others and made the bold confession. Jesus is the Christ, the Son of Man, the Son of God. Jesus is not John the Baptist. He is not Elijah or some other prophet. Jesus is the Son of God. But we cannot be sure how Peter understood Jesus to be the Messiah shortly. After Peter's confession of Jesus as Christ, Peter is chastised by Jesus because he rejected the idea of Jesus' suffering and dying on the cross. Maybe Peter and others were looking for a Messiah that would usher in an earthly region of peace, reign of peace and prosperity. Perhaps they were looking for a temporal place here and now. It seems like they were not interested in peace between people and God. That is only given by God's grace through the forgiveness of sins. They were not looking for a suffering Messiah, one that was weak and would die. Still, Peter recognized Jesus as the Son of God. As the Son of God, Jesus came with a special purpose. And that special purpose was met at the cross. That is exactly where Jesus had to go and die. There he had to be weak, taking our weakness on himself. He had to die our death and bear our separation from God. But he was raised from the dead and be glorified so that you and I will be raised from the dead and be glorified in the presence of our Heavenly Father forever.
And to continue the story, as Harvey used to say, now you get the rest of the story. Can you hear me now? Good. It's too loud. As we have been attending this church for a couple of months now, a few months, I get more excited at what God started here at Port Ludlow with the sermons from Pastor Kevin. I firmly believe we are in the very beginning of an outpouring of God's grace and Holy Spirit here among this fellowship. But let me make this very clear. This move of the Holy Spirit will require for you and I to be very specific about our faith. Let me share a story. This could very well be me at the very beginning. A missionary was walking down the road alongside a Native American. After some conversation, he asked the Native American, "Tell me, what does your heart say about who Jesus is?" The Native stood still and paused, then replied, "Stop, and I will show you." He stooped down and gathered some dry leaves and made a circle. In the middle of the circle, in which he left an open space, and dropped a worm in the middle of the circle. He lit the fire to the leaves. The flames quickly ran around the leaves, and the poor worm began to feel the heat, withered and wiggled about in all directions, trying in vain and somehow to escape the torment. At last exhausted, it sank motionless. The Native stretched out his hand, lifted up the worm, and laid it on the ground, on the cool ground, beyond the reach of the fire. Then he turned to the missionary and said, "This is what Jesus did for me. And that is what my heart is telling me to do, to tell my people he is the Messiah, the Son of the living God." Amen. A short story about that. I was that worm at one time, and he plucked me out of the fire. I could not survive that fire anymore because I was dying, physically, mentally, and spiritually. I didn't know Christ. I didn't know who he was. I was the worm. And I'm sure a lot of you were in the same place I was at one time. So who is this Jesus who plucks men like worms out of the fire, which seeks to destroy them? So who is this Jesus? We hear a lot of God talk, and in most cases, that is acceptable. But what about honest talk about our Savior, about Jesus? What about honest dialogue about the truth, claims of Christ? Let me ask you another question. Can there ever be any question of any greater importance than the simple question that Jesus asked in today's gospel reading? Who do people say I am? Who do people say the Son of Man is? When Jesus asked that question, it wasn't in the comfort of his kitchen,
drinking coffee or in the comfort of his home or Bible group, home group. This very important question was asked in Caesarea Philippi, the very center of worship of false gods for thousands of years. The road that led into Caesarea Philippi was lined with shrines and idols. It was here that Jesus asked Peter, "Who do you say I am?" Could it be that Jesus is asking us the very same question today? The world is our Caesarea Philippi. Port Ludlow is our Caesarea Philippi. That we are out there. And if when we're out there and someone asks us that question, do we have the right answers? Or are we going to answer like the disciples? With vague answers, but safe answers. The disciples asked Jesus, answered Jesus with a very specific, non-specific terms. So Jesus became very specifically about his question. But who do you say I am? Can we, like Peter, with all the world powers and false gods looking upon us, can we make that declaration as Peter did? And it was, you are the Messiah, the Son of the living God. His answer could declare that no matter what we could face in these coming days as he returns to the Jerusalem, nothing, even the personal failures, should have power over his life. So many times we are going through a tough time and the world is upside down in our lives. And there is evil all around us. We need to stop here. It is here that Jesus would ask you and I, but who do you say I am? I believe God has taken many of us to the furthest regions of our faith, stretching our faith to the max. Anybody been there? We feel like this trip has been long and challenging. But I believe there has been a time testing, in most cases filled with doubt and discovery, encouragement. Could it be that God has brought you and I to this place and positioned us in the midst of all the world has to offer so that we can make that great declaration, just as Peter did? Will we declare in our darkest hours, what will Grace Community declare? I believe that God brings us to this unfamiliar to ask us that question. Who do you say I am? Our answer will literally change our entire perspective of life. Jesus told Peter that the revelation of who he was did not come from human intellect or speculations. Jesus was made real for Peter by God our Father. In Matthew 6:17, it says, "You are blessed, Simon, son of John, because the Father in heaven has revealed this to you." It was nothing that he knew about. You did not learn this from human beings. Peter heard that revelation from Father and repeated it to Jesus in response to the questions. The good news for us is that this kind of revelation is available to every believer. Because our Father has done everything in his power to ensure that we can hear his heart in our lives. This revelation is ready to be released into our lives, into this community, by the confession of our mouth. Who do you say I am? So why do we all need Jesus to be in our lives? Do we need him to be our physical healer? Then define him as a physical healer. Do we need him to be our provider? Then call him Jesus, my provider. If you need him to restore your relationship, then call him Jesus, the restorer. Yes. We must never forget Jesus of Nazareth was then and is today the Son of the living God. The Logos, the very expression of God to humanity. When we see and encounter Jesus, we see God. And I encourage all of us to press ever forward to the knowledge of Him and the absolute dependence on Him in our lives. It's not. Okay. And always keep in your hearts the same confession Peter had. You are the Christ, the Son of the living God. And we must proclaim that, not only among us here, but to our neighbors, our friends, and our family, and the world in general. The whole world needs to know about Jesus. And we kind of hide it under the bushel a lot of times. That's not what Jesus was asking Peter. Who do you say I am? Can everybody proclaim that? Who do you say I am? The Messiah, the Son of the living God. And that's our God, our Jesus. Come on. I don't care.
Yeah. We must understand that our Father loves each one of us so much. Can you imagine His arms around each and every one of us? His grace abounds. Just as He revealed His Son to Peter, He will reveal Him to each one of us. He will be revealed to you as you hear God's word. It will be revealed to you as you come and worship. And it will be revealed in the sacraments of communion and baptism. Imagine this. Peter, face to face with our Lord, then comes that question, who do you say I am? And soon it will be our turn. We will also stand face to face with Jesus, and He will look in our eyes and ask us the same question. Who do you say I am? And by the grace given to us by God and by His power, may we speak boldly and with certainty. You are the Christ who takes away the sin of the world. And on the solid rock I stand, because all other ground is sinking sand. And we should proclaim to the world
who Jesus is.
Who Jesus is. Okay.
Amen.
Amen. Pastor took a day off.
Can we all read this? Can we all say one of those many definitions of who Jesus is?
The light of the world.
Purifier.
Mediator. Messiah.
All the above and more. We often admit that when we come to church, depending on how many people there are in the room, that's how many messages are being spoken by the Holy Spirit. He knows how to work with every one of us. Now, you're the one who knows where you were last night in your heart. And even this morning. You know whether or not you awakened during the wee hours of the morning with fear over your finances or over healing that was needed or over grief and concern about your sons or daughters, even your grandchildren. You're the one who knows when you've awakened over issues that are deep in your heart and maybe you've not spoken to anyone else. And this morning, Jesus is saying to you and to me individually, right here, right now, who do you say I am? I'm the God who sees, who knows, who cares for you right in the midst of your circumstances. How many are glad that Jesus sees you and knows you?
Amen.
Would you stand with me, church? Bill, come on over. But what we're going to do as we close, Bill's got something he wants to share, but what we're going to do as we close is we're going to make sure that we've taken a moment to personalize what he's saying. Bill, quickly, please.
This is, I didn't get to read my Bible this morning. I read from a book, but this is a comment. Genuine faith consists of loving God no matter what the circumstance.
There you go.
We accept that our life is in His hands no matter what the chaos of this world might bring, no matter what troubles confront us at the moment, no matter how we might hurt, we have placed our life in His hands.
Amen.
And we keep it there.
Yes.
Amen. Yes. Amen.
And that was just the beginning of the rest of the story about how to worship God.
Yeah.
You think that has any impact in your life, my friend?
Amen. Yep.
You know, we see a faithful man of God.
Yes.
Who comes week in, and who shares with us the word God has put in his spirit. And it wasn't long ago his bride was delivering messages in tongues that interpretation would come. And certainly that loss is acute to his own heart. And yet he says, I'm here serving the Lord.
Amen.
In my own life, I have sons that deeply need healing power. And I'm not going to say my God is not a healer. My God is the healer.
Yes.
Jesus, I know who you say you are, the Son of the living God. You are the healer. You are the Christ. You are the deliverer. You are everything you say you are. Now, right now, with every eye closed and head bowed, I know you know where Jesus has put his finger this morning. And it's a precious thing. It's not a hostile thing. It's a precious thing. And Jesus is speaking to your heart right now. I am who I say I am.
Thank you, Lord.
I want you to just right now confess, Jesus, I know you are the Son of the living God. I know you're the Messiah. I know you're the provider. I know you're the deliverer. I know you are who you say you are. And I receive you right now as my strength and deliverer, Lord. And Lord, as we go from this place this morning, we go knowing that you're the God who does all things well. Our times are in your hands. And we believe, Lord, that we commit in our own lives to radiate your presence to these communities all around us, to radiate the presence of Jesus. Because this world needs the delivering Messiah, the King of Kings and Lord of Lords, the healer, the strength, the deliverer, the provider. This world needs you, Jesus. And we receive your word engrafted into our souls this morning and the very encouragement you give us. And we commit to bear you forth the answer for all of life. We trust you, Lord, in Jesus' name. And they all said,
Amen.
Musicians, will you come? And we're going to go back to that song, I Believe in Jesus. And I want you to just make your declaration as we close with this song this morning. If you're a guest with us this morning, we're thankful that you're here with us. We invite you back at 10 o'clock next Sunday morning. Wednesday, of course, we have grace gatherings at 1 o'clock. Thursday, ladies' Bible study at 11. But go with the joy of the Lord as your strength, knowing that Jesus has met you. How many are glad you came to church this morning? Amen. He is so good. And the grace to forget. Just raise your hands before the Lord. Father, we thank you and we receive you. We receive your healing, your life, your delivering power. We receive, Jesus, that you are exactly who you say you are. And we thank you, Lord, that you are well able to do above and beyond all that we ask or think. Lord Jesus, you've got the heavy end, and we commit all things to you. Lord, we come and give you praise and worship today because you are able. And we thank you, Lord. Now, Lord, even bless each one as they go from this place today. We know that you have birthed within us hope and life and deliverance, a future and a hope. In the name of Jesus, we speak your delivering power, grace, and life to every person in this congregation. Strengthen them now in Jesus' name. And they all said,
Amen.
Amen. Be released to the joy of the Lord. He is who he says he is. Amen. Amen.